Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. We're so glad you could join us. Today is Sunday, June 2nd, 2019, and we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we will start this morning with our morning prayer.
From page 187 of Miscellany. May the divine light of Christian Science that lighteth every enlightened thought illumine your faith and understanding, exclude all darkness or doubt, and signal the perfect path wherein to walk, the perfect principle whereby to demonstrate the perfect man and the perfect law of God. May the grace and love of God be and abide with you all. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. I think we will just be having one prayer from now on. Maybe occasionally we will say the other one about all being in the one mind. I wanted to start. We had we purchased these books from the Carpenter Foundation, and we got a very beautiful letter from Keyston, which Gary will read.
Dear friends, it is with sadness and yet great joy that I part with this superlative collection preserved by Gilbert C. Carpenter, Sr., CSB, and his son. Sad because I lovingly have been entrusted to care for them for some three decades, yet an incredible sense of joy knowing that divine love has found the perfect home where these important treasures will be fastidiously and lovingly cared for. They are the closest things to children in my experience. So much gratitude to you all for your stalwart stand for truth in preserving our beloved leader's sacred history and precious science. Lovingly, David Keyston.
What joy to have them.
Yes. And yep. Those that come can see them when you come to Plainfield. And also, maybe we will proof again some of our books. I know the article Place is included in this collection, as well as other things, to make sure we have everything exactly correct. So they'll be very worthwhile to us. Our subject today is Ancient and Modern Necromancy, Alias Mesmerism, and Hypnotism Denounced. And we will start first with our watching.
Watch number 38. Watch less in reducing error to zero. You neglect to rub out the zero. Once a lecturer told of a little science girl who had a cold. She drew a zero on the front stoop with a piece of chalk to indicate that she had made nothing of the cold. After a few moments, she ran back and rubbed out the zero. In destroying error, you must first translate it into a false belief. This does not destroy it, but uncovers it for self-destruction through your recognition of its nothingness. You must finally rub out the zero by knowing that since God is all, no claim of an opposite to him ever existed, even as a false belief, to tempt his children. And even if it did, they could not be tempted by it, since they have no capacity to believe a lie, or even to be tempted to believe one.
Thank you. Thank you. Any comments on that one?
It's a really good one because I think often I had forgotten to rub the zero and, you know, all the work I was doing. This is some time ago before I knew better. I was still entertaining the false beliefs and working against them, which is, in fact, I was really making them real and then so-called fighting them with the truth. So is the nothingness, the zero rubbed off as well. That step is imperative.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is a tough one, isn't it? Because it's we have to literally, mentally rub it out. And, you know, a lot of these experiences we have leave mental impressions that we don't rub out. We leave them there. We feel like we have to deal with them. That's why one of the things Mrs. Evans taught us was whenever you're working with the truth, it's always 10 affirmations of truth per one affirmation of denial. Too many of us spend too much time on the denial affirmations and not enough time on the true affirmations. And it's the true affirmations that rub out the zero.
Very important. She also said, never leave anything in the negative. In your mental work, make sure you start with the allness of God. You do handle whatever the problem is, but a light touch on it, and then you end with that allness of God. Otherwise, you've created this big reality you're battling against, and you wonder why it never goes anywhere.
I thought if you don't rub out the zero, it could happen again, because you knew it was nothing, but that nothing was still there.
Thank you, yes. And that's what Carpenter says in one of his watching points. You have to work to know that it, whatever the problem was, never happened in divine mind. So,
give me one more day to know it never happened.
That's right. Give me one more day to know it never happened. And quite a long subject, ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism and hypnotism denounced. We have certainly seen we've needed to be handling it since our latest liberator was on handling animal magnetism. And we just had a series of problems with papers, the paper we needed being delivered. So it just got mailed yesterday, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay, prove it, you know.
The clicking on the phone yesterday.
The beginning of the class this morning. It would try to have error enter as a distraction. So, I thought that number 2 and 3 in science and health were very important to go along with what the meaning of this topic is about. And I will have Jeffrey read number 2.
We lose the high signification, omnipotence, when after admitting that God, or good, is omnipresent and has all power, we still believe there is another power, named evil. This belief that there is more than one mind is as pernicious to divine theology as our ancient mythology and pagan idolatry. With one father, even God, the whole family of man would be brethren. With one mind, and that God, or good, the brotherhood of man, would consist of love and truth, and have unity of principle and spiritual power, which constitute divine son. Supposed existence of more than one mind was the basic error of idolatry.
Thank you. What does the word pernicious mean?
Destructive.
Thank you. Having the quality of killing, destroying, or injuring. Now, you see, think about it. We as scientists declare there's only one God, one mind. This is the first commandment, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then on the heels of that, we still believe that there's another power named evil. So what's with that?
Contradiction.
In what ways do we believe there's another power called evil? How do we do this? Because it comes to us subtly. It's not like we are going in front of some false gold idol and bowing before it. Hopefully we're not doing that. How do we do this? How do we turn from saying, well, God is all and God is good, to then believing there's another power named evil?
Easily. Oh, my gosh, this pain. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm depressed. I don't have all that.
Thank you.
Yeah, take this drug.
Take something that someone can be irritating.
Very good.
Yeah.
Remedy. Yes. Yeah. We start thinking, oh, well, so-and-so had it. I am kind of, I don't know whether the word is amazed, but I've heard this from Christian Scientists, that they think they have something because, you know, their mother or father had it. What? Hold it. Where did you get that from?
Or I have this problem, so someone is malpracticing on me.
Or I'm worried about my son or my daughter or my husband. I'm worried. Or I'm worried about my financial situation. I'm worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year. Every time you do this, you are believing in a power other than God. It's just that simple. It's just, that's it. Again, this isn't my opinion. And then in the lesson, in the responsive reading, read number 7, Nancy, in the responsive reading.
Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship him, only God.
What does the word confounded mean?
Put down, it's like.
Yes.
Confused.
Yes.
Confused.
Confused. Perplexed. Dismayed. To mix or blend. To throw the mind in disorder. So when you're believing, when you go down that path of believing that there is another power other than God, and if it's other than God, it's an evil power, then what do you become? Confounded. Confused.
You had said once in a testimony about it, like devil worship.
Yes, it is. It is devil worship. That was such a revelation to me. That's what helped me stop worrying. It's not worry. I call it devil worship. Change the wording and it'll kind of wake you up.
But it always results in confusion.
Confusion, confounded. Was a
confusion, worse confounded.
Worse confounded. Okay. My father used to say that when he'd be upset. Confounded. I never knew what it meant as a child. It sounded awful. And he was very mad when he said it.
But it has to result in confusion, doesn't it?
Yes.
But when you look for the truth, in the wrong direction, in a place where truth does not exist. When you look for help in the direction that it is impossible to come from.
So, thank you. It would have to result in confusion. and you get all mixed up. It says your mind is thrown into disorder. Well, you've left the basis of the one mind, and you're into all these other minds, and then you start asking other people's opinions on things. You start seeking the peeps and the wizards.
I know before I came here, I got into this point, I thought, you know, there's too many variables to keep track of. How are we supposed to do this? supposed to keep track of all this stuff and try to find the way, right way to do it if it's possible.
Thank you.
Glad to come here and realize I don't need to do that.
Yeah, thank you. So if you're ever feeling confused, ask yourself, what God have you made beside the one God that's confusing you? What are you believing in besides the one God? This is all discipline of thought.
And another way to ask that same question is to ask yourself, to what am I turning for help? Because wherever you turn for help, you are, in effect, worshiping, right? So if you're turning somewhere other than to God for help, now, God sends help in the form of people, or, you know, books, articles, whatever. God will send help in a form that you can recognize it. But that's after you turn to God for help.
That's something I found the past few years, that I don't need to do all this research to find out what I need to do this, you know, like the computer work for the church. Just the need comes up, I'll go online and immediately be directed to where I need. And I don't need to sort through all this stuff. And that's been such a wonderful thing. Even in no part of my life is there a need to, like, try a different method, I guess.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
When you come to that. Being confused and mixed up and having your so-called mind thrown into disorder is not a lot of fun.
And it's not necessary.
It's not necessary.
That's the other thing. There is a better way.
And who knows what Proverbs 3 says?
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
What?
And he shall direct your path.
Lean not unto thine own understanding. That way you'll stay, and over in Psalms and other places, how is the way described as what?
Narrow, straight and narrow.
Yes.
And clear.
And yes, also clear and plain. But it only is clear and plain when you are turning to the one God, the one mind, for your answers. And it doesn't matter what kind of hell you seem to be going through. What was the calendar statement yesterday?
If you're in hell, keep going.
If you're going through hell, just keep going.
Don't stop.
Don't stop and linger.
keep moving on. It was Winston Churchill. Yes.
Yeah. He was the last to have it from.
So, and I know, because I've heard some of you who have maybe family members or friends who aren't scientists, and maybe they're having to go into the medical, and then, but that's no reason for all this confusion or condemnation. You do the best you can. You still turn to the one mind, the one God, and do the best you can. Otherwise, you get all the more mucked up in it. God's still with you. What is it? Behold, if I make my bed in hell.
Thou art there.
Thou art there. So whatever situation you're working through, just keep doing the best you can. But condemning yourself or feeling all guilty or condemning the other person, I don't know, however it works, you just do the best you can. I mean, Carol had that situation, right?
Yes.
And what did you do?
I did. I kind of floated through it. I had a lot of practitioner help, and I did what I needed to do, and I just kept with God. And a very strange thing, I had my lesson book open in the room at one point, and someone came in and said, "Oh, you're reading the Bible. May I see it?" And she read the lesson. So it was just keeping God in whatever you need to do and keeping yourself in God. You're not in the situation, you're in God. And it was the most harmonious situation. It really worked out beautifully.
Thank you very much.
Well, and then even the next citation in the responsive reading kind of describes the science behind all this. Right? Number 9, Psalm 37:97. "For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods." This is David's recognition of what Mrs. Eddy explains. That God is all. There just isn't any connection between God and anything else. The earth, the earthly beliefs, the material theories. Because when it says, "Thou shalt, you know, do not lean unto thine own understanding," well, is there any other understanding besides the understanding of God? No. But when it talks about thine own understanding, it's referring to what you think might be true, but is really only a human belief or a material theory. And God is way, way, way far higher than any of those.
And Mrs. Eddy says, "Don't beat out against the mist, but
gently rise above it."
Yes. Rise above it. Again, if you make a big reality out of it, it's the fight of the beast that'll try to fight back. You rise above it all, because here that statement says, he's high above it all.
I think we forget that we say that, well, according to the definition, he is all-knowing. So if all-knowing, where am I going to find what?
Exactly.
He is our creator. Is there anything that the creation doesn't know about his... Is there anything the creator does not know about his creation? You think the doctors know more than God knows about you, whom he created?
In his own image and likeness?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then, later in the Bible, because this goes along with what we're saying in John 17, where the Christ Jesus prays, "I pray too that thou shouldest, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." So what does that mean? Jeremy wrote about it.
Yeah, I was really happy to see that. It's like, he's not telling us to wait for the afterlife or anything weird like that. We're where we're supposed to be. Just stay away from anything unlike God. Keep moving forward.
Right. And that's where the concept of heaven on earth comes from. Right? It is possible. So we have a wonderful opportunity ahead of us if we would just grab it.
And not taking you out of the world, I mean, that means the things that might challenge you or tempt you, but you are to overcome them, saying just preserve them from the evil of it. So whatever situation you're in, God is there with you. And what is it? I loved what you wrote, Jeremy, about... I spent decades truly hating being me. and now I'm happy with it.
What a What an odd turnaround. I did not, another thing I did not expect.
And that goes along with Peter's beautiful song.
When I found God, I found me.
Yep. So, I don't know, how much changing did happen, Jeremy? You're still you.
I know. I think about that once in a while, because in a way, it feels like I'm not different. And in another way, it feels like I'm completely different. But.
Well, you put off your false personality and found your individuality in God, which was always there. Just needed to be brought to light completely. And that changes everything for the better.
That's a whole lot healthier than, you know, to be settled in a wrong thought about yourself and just say, well, that's how I am, to think that you can't change. I think that's more healthier than, you know, to not like the false.
Well, and there's an analogy in nature, isn't there? The rose that is fully bloomed, blossoming, the same rose that was a tiny little bud once. It just needed to blossom. In a way, it's the same rose, but in a way, it's totally different. We need to blossom as God's image and likeness. It's there in each one of us. We just need to see it. And let it blossom.
And blossom under his care, his jurisdiction. And then 10 in the responsive reading, Sharon.
Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked.
What does that mean, he that loves the Lord hate evil?
Can't love the opposite of God and love God, too.
Thank you. So that's why Mrs. Eddy talks about, what is it? She says that error is the bland denial of truth. Mrs. Evans was always getting after blandness. What is blandness?
Like indifference.
And apathy.
Apathy. Not caring.
Not hot or cold.
Not, thank you.
Yeah, hot or cold.
And I will spew thee out. She loved to say blonde and bland. To all the blondes sitting around. Uh-oh. Well, anyway. And it was something she could not abide, and it is, because if you do love God, you will hate evil. And I, you know, I was a blonde and bland one, and it was this sort of an indifference, and maybe it had to do with all the confusion that I was in my head, that I was worshiping other gods without knowing it.
Or I think it was this misconception of the need to be nice as being part of Christian Science, which it is not.
Now, nice is a bland word. And on page 207 in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, because God is spirit, evil becomes more apparent and obnoxious proportionately as we advance spiritually until it disappears from our lives. This is what happens.
This is what should be happening to all of us.
Yes. And as I said, you don't see it as person. You see it as animal magnetism, an illusion, a mesmerism. But it becomes much more apparent. Some people get concerned about that. But the thing is, what are you going to do with it when it becomes more apparent?
Destroy it.
Yeah, in your thought. If you have to, take action in some way, always from the standpoint of love, but it's not that this idea, and that's why the scientists who hear no evil, see no evil,
speak
no evil is not, no, bland. If you think Mrs. Eddy was like that, you need to read Footsteps. She was not Christ Jesus. He whipped the money changers out of the temple.
He rebuked the Pharisees.
You will feel it more and more keenly, but only as an untruth. Not the truth about God's creation. So, any questions or comments so far?
Yes. When you were talking about yourself, I just want to read something real quick and see what your comment is. It's from Things to be Thought Of, page 264, 265 in Miscellaneous Writings. Mrs. Eddy says, a teacher of Christian Science unwittingly or intentionally offers his own thought and gives me his authority for it. If he diverges from science and knows it not, or knowing it, makes a venture from vanity or in order to be thought original or wiser than somebody else, this divergence widens. He grows dark and cannot regain at will an upright understanding. This error in the teacher also predisposes his students to make mistakes and lose their way. So my question is that we can't self-blame because the state of the movement is so diverged from what Mrs. Eddy left that it's, and I'm not saying it's malicious or intentional, but even so, the blame, we can't self-blame. We have to just try to get back on track again. If that's correct or not, please let me know.
You have to acknowledge error in yourself. Get it out to be rid of it. This is not self-blame. This is just acknowledging error. I think what she's referring to here is teachers who personalize the science or humanize the science and present human opinion, their own human opinion, as science. She had a lot of people doing that she had to sift through and correct. She attracted a lot of people to the science who wanted to bring their human baggage with them. And so there were a lot of so-called practitioners and teachers who were not practicing or teaching correctly, and she was always having to correct them.
Well, he's talking about false teaching, and so you're taught not the truth, and that is, it's a very sad thing. One of our Bible studies spoke about that, teachers who were teaching falsely, and there's a great responsibility there not to do that.
This is what New Age is all about.
Well, that's what we feel a lot of things are false teachers right now. Yeah.
I think I understand what you're saying, and I'm just saying that the innocent student of these teachers, unfortunately, then, so if you or I were taught falsely, then it's not completely our blame that we're not getting it, but then what we have to do is admit that we're not getting it, then get on the correct trail with Carpenter books and Mrs. Eddy's books, etc.
And I think that's absolutely correct. And I don't know of any of us who haven't been taught, you know, incorrectly at one point, whether it's old theology or this, you know, warped sense of Christian Science. And this is why Mrs. Eddy says, it's repeating and defeating, repeating and defeating. And this is why we have these times together every week, because these old beliefs would seem to pop up and we have to be cleansed. And we pray for those who need this truth will find it. And Linda's talked about it, right? How your false teaching in science.
In the name of science.
In the name of science.
In the name, I think is correct.
Yeah.
Thank you. That clarifies things very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the question.
Sure.
And Jeremiah 29:8 says, "Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name." So I was thinking that this sort of puts the responsibility on us to make sure that we're,
right.
We're thinking this through, we're proving it, we're demonstrating
yeah.
it. So.
And there are many who have been taught falsely who reject those teachings. That's why all this rejection of Catholicism. You know, they're rejecting it because they know there's something wrong about it. There's this inner sense within you that will guide you aright. Luann rejected a lot of false teaching in her home, I would say, right?
Yes, thank God for Christian Science. But yes, using truths and stuff was quite a battle to get rid of all that negative thinking and everything that I've been taught.
Thank you.
And I think you're realizing, and with your explanation confirming what I was thinking, I think realizing that, and it wasn't malicious in any way, shape, or form, but because people, our Christian Scientists, weren't willing to read anything but the mushy authorized things, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to say that what Mrs. Eddy wrote was mushy or anything like that. What I'm saying is the view of what Mrs. Eddy wrote being mushy, and that's what brings, I think now that we're saying this, I hear that in so many people's testimonies. When I came to Plainfield and got the correct teachings, everything straightened out. And then the other question real quick, Jeremy, where was that in Jeremiah again, please?
Citation 4, 8, and 9.
Lesson, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad you brought that out.
I think that's really interesting what you just said about the in within you deep, you know, a little different, because I do remember struggling with that for decades and seeing other people, and they would drift off or read other things. And it's actually, to me, it's more about standing up to it or questioning it or going along with the organization more than it was not being aware. I mean, they knew, so many really did know it was wrong.
I think there is this inner voice in you that think this is really weird or this doesn't seem right, you know, being told not to teach the Ten Commandments,
right.
Other things that doesn't, or this being unauthorized literature, something that's helped you so much. People, and there's something in you that steers you aright. Thank God for that.
And it goes to Jeremy's point that then we're really responsible then.
Yes.
For being, that we didn't follow, so that is interesting.
That's part of being bland.
Yeah.
And going along, and you get in the gray zone. I was just thinking, yeah, and then you get zoned out. Confused.
That's right.
Right.
You get confused, and you get, oh, who's right and who's wrong, and you start reading and intellectualizing. And
not malicious. There's a maliciousness behind it.
Yes.
That's where it comes from, and it is malicious, and we've got to realize that as too and face it.
Thank you, yes.
You just defined me right there. Thank you.
Well, and this is why Mrs. Eddy implores us to stand porter at the door of thought. You can't be responsible for the thoughts that come to you. You can't blame yourself for incorrect teaching that you might have had somewhere along the way, whether it was in your home or in your school or under the auspices of the organization in Boston or wherever. But you are responsible for what you do about it. And listen, we're all students here. We're all learning. It's not like any of us have ascended yet. So, you know, we're here to support one another in this journey. And do the best we can, and teach as best we can, and practice as best we can, and be aware of false prophets. And as Mary said, you know, there's an inner voice within each one of us.
I think it's a matter of really, we have to listen to that inner voice, because I know that for myself, after a while, something was missing. It was clear to me. It just was a feeling I was having. And then what I could do, I just kept praying for the right way. And, well, God answers prayer, sincere prayer. And we found Plainfield. I think, is he not our Redeemer? So if we really feel that something is not right and you're feeling it, it's ignoring it and just going along with whatever because of whatever the reason, that's what's not right.
Right.
I'm sorry, Gary, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, for me, that's how I found this church, was the inner voice. It wasn't by chance, for sure.
Well, I kept searching for Christian Science on the Internet because I was in real trouble. And I just happened to, and I was fortunate to find our website.
Yes, and we'll pray that others do too. And as far as, you know, we've talked about malpractice is either ignorant or malicious. And certainly there's a lot of ignorant malpractice that goes on. But there is some, too, that's malicious, and that can only go back and destroy itself. And we mustn't be unwise or unalert to the fact that there is malicious intent. But it can't harm unless you are a malpractitioner yourself. Then it finds a way into your thought. Warren?
I think especially the motives to belittle Mrs. Eddy, to say that she's just typifies the woman and not the woman, all of that, that's malicious.
That is malicious, and it is huge, and it's where so many people get off into the New Age and all this other stuff and think that the answers are there. And that's a bland denial of the truth. And it goes, you know, what we were talking about, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me with all your heart. Now, some of you just said how that happened, Janet and Fairley, and if Joanne and Linda spoke about it, Joanne on the forum said how she got on her knees, found our church, and Linda.
Well, no, I just was realizing that I needed to really pay attention to that. I was always speaking with all my heart because I realized how I used to seek for the glass on the ocean, and I would just get so focused and just really want it. I thought, well, do I do even that to God, you know, for my God? And so I realized I needed to keep that in front, always in my thought, to make sure that I was seeking for him with that same passion.
Yes. You know, once when I was in terrible trouble, terrible situation. It was actually someone, a preacher on television, that spoke to this. And I don't think I'd ever heard it said quite that way. That you've just got to want this more than anything else. Anything else. Your whole heart, mind, and soul. It really arrested me because being bland and blonde, I don't know whether I had. And so if you haven't found him, have you really put this quest above everything else in your life? You want this more than you want your physical healing. You want this more than you want your little house in the country or
prairie.
All the things you think, is this the pearl of great price? Because if you do, he will be found. But that's a requirement. And blandness will not work here. You can't be half-hearted. Oh, I'll give it a try. I'll try Christian Science, and then I'll try something else, and then I'll try this, and I'll try that. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
You have to be desperate for it, really. That's the way it was with me.
Yes, you do. And that goes to the story about Manasseh. And when he was in affliction, He besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. It took affliction, which is why it can be proof of God's care. So, we had a lot of good forums. I don't think we can get to all of them. In Science and Health, another important point was in number 8, every mortal must learn that there is neither power nor reality in evil. We all have to learn this. Every mortal, every one of us has to learn it. And also, only those who repent of sin and forsake the unreal can fully understand the unreality of evil. You know, people mock Christian Science because we say evil is unreal. Well, here she's saying why. Unless you repent of it and forsake it, you'll never understand the unreality of it. Once you do that, it disappears like a balloon that's popped. But that process has to be done, and unless you do it, you don't. It's real. It's awful. It's terrible. Just, you know, running my life. Only those who repent of sin, that means stop worshiping false idols, whether it's worry, negativity, hate, resentment, all of the carnal mind, and forsake the unreal, forsake that carnal sense of life, the Adam dream, and you understand the unreality of evil. It has to be done, and if you don't, you'll think this is a very stupid thing, and it is certainly not a stupid thing. It is the truth.
But we have to work at proving it. And it's not kind of a, you're there all of a sudden kind of thing, because it's tenacious. It comes at us in different forms, and, you know, it's a job to recognize it. Deal with it. And oftentimes we need help recognizing it. That's why we stick together.
Why we're here.
As a church. Yeah, exactly. And that's what we do for one another.
And it's really very important. I'm so grateful to Mrs. Evans that she, you know, trained a group. One stick you can break, a bundle you cannot. Now, we're getting close to closing time, so there was one thing I wanted to mention. That's the end of the lesson, and Joanne wrote to it, but there's a fine distinction here I want to make. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. What is fruit?
Result, or like the what comes of it?
Yes. Yes. Now, for a long time, I tried to be those things. I tried to be loving. I tried to be joyful. I tried to be peaceful. I tried to be all those things. But I was missing one thing. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of God and get your stupid self out of the way, you can try and try and try to be all these things, but it's not going to work. You might be a little humanly better than you were if you were a horrible person, but this is the fruit of letting God be in total control and you being in total submission to Him. It's the fruit. Don't ever forget that, because otherwise it's exhausting.
Nice.
Trying to be all those things is exhausting. Only God are those things. It's His fruit. Just like you can't have an apple without a tree. Well, you can't have that fruit without the Spirit. Okay, we are going to end on something that Florence and I love very much. And some selections from Ways That Are Vain. It's Eleni, page 210 to 213. We don't have time.
All right. Ways That Are Vain. Certain individuals entertain the notion that Christian Science mind healing should be two-sided and only denounce error in general.
saying nothing in particular of error that is damning men. They are sticklers for a false, convenient peace, straining at gnats and swallowing camels. The unseen wrong to individuals and society, they are too cowardly, too ignorant, or too wicked to uncover, and excuse themselves by denying that this evil exists. This mistaken way of hiding sin in order to maintain harmony has licensed evil, allowing it first to smolder and then break out in devouring flames. All that error asks is to be let alone, even as in Jesus' time the unclean spirits cried out, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" Animal magnetism in its ascending steps of evil entices its victim by unseen, silent arguments. Reversing the modes of good in their silent allurements to health and holiness, it impels mortal mind into error of thought and tempts into the committal of acts foreign to the natural inclinations. The victims lose their individuality and lend themselves as willing tools to carry out the designs of their worst enemies, even those who would induce their self-destruction. Animal magnetism fosters suspicious distrust where honor is due, fear where courage should be strongest, reliance where there should be avoidance, a belief in safety where there is most danger. And these miserable lies poured constantly into his mind fret and confuse it, spoiling that individual's disposition, undermining his health, and sealing his doom, unless the cause of the mischief is found out and destroyed. Other minds are made dormant by it, and the victim is in a state of semi-individuality, with a mental haziness which admits of no intellectual culture or spiritual growth. The state induced by this secret evil influence is a species of intoxication in which the victim is led to believe and do what he would never otherwise think or do voluntarily. Unless one's eyes are opened to the modes of mental malpractice, working so subtly that we mistake its suggestions for the impulses of our own thought, the victim will allow himself to drift in the wrong direction without knowing it. Be ever on guard against this enemy. Watch your thoughts and see whether they lead you to God and into harmony with his true followers. Guard and strengthen your own citadel more strongly. Thus, you will grow wiser and better through every attack of your foe, and the golden rule will not rust for lack of use or be misinterpreted by the adverse influence of animal magnetism.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.